we speak about Saul, his conversion, and about change. Good. Change. You guys, we see it? Sorry about that. Okay. You know, change is hard. And especially for Paul, I can imagine it was very hard for Saul, you know. And so I would like to speak about his conversion. But before I go there, I forgot to say I would like to thank my wife for sticking through me through all the years. And my, you know, she put through so much for me, and she's still sticking through. And she would pray for me. And how many of us men know that, you know, it's good when you have someone to pray for you. Not only my wife, but my mom too. And my father, before I came to God, he was in this church. And he would tell me, the one thing he always gave me advice was, he was telling me, David, you can't have one foot in and one foot out with God. It's either all or nothing. And I remember that. And so now that I'm serving God, I'm like, I have to just do it all. And so I'm going to speak a little bit about what led Saul to his conversion. Saul was, first I'll tell you about him. Saul was a Tarsus. He was a Jew. He was raised in the Greek culture. He was a very educated man. He went to what back then would have been their Harvard. So he was well educated. He was a zealous Pharisee. He intensely persecuted the followers of Jesus. So he had it out for Jesus, for his disciples. And so like myself, there was time I was angry with God too for years. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? You know, I was angry. But I knew he had a calling for me. I knew that lifestyle I lived wasn't for me. I knew he had something different for me. And so so when he goes to the high king, he asks him, can I go after Jesus' people? He said, yes, go. Women and men. So he was coming after everybody. So as he's on his way to Damascus, he sees a light and flashing around him. As he hears it, he falls to the ground. And he hears a voice, Saul, Saul. And he says, who are you? And God says, you know, it's me. And then Saul says, and then God tells him, why do you persecute me? He says, who are, he says, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. Jesus tells him, get up and go into the city. You will be told what you must do. So just imagine that. He was on his way to go get the men and all the women. He thought he had a plan. But in the middle of his plan, God intervened. Changed his plan. Changed everything. How many of us have been on a plan and God just gets in the way, right? I've been there. We've all been there. And so he's going there, and what happens? He's blind. He can't see. A lot of us were blind at once, and we couldn't see, right? And so he goes, and now he's blind for 3 days. No food, nothing. This is a man who stood with very powerful, powerful people. Now he had to be led. Imagine that, okay? And so then Ananias, so God tells Ananias, go and speak to Saul. And Ananias was like, God, you know what this man has done? What he's here for to do? And what did God tell him? I'm going to use that man in a tremendous way. And he could do that for all of us. All of us. Even though we think we can't do this, that we're unworthy, he could use you in a mighty way. A mighty, mighty way. And so as as Ananias goes, he talks to Saul, the scales start to fall, falling. Now he could see. I was like that too. Back in 2009, when I first gave my life to God. And it was hard. Me and my wife, we went through a separation. And so I was like, you know, God blinded him to let him see, right, or what he had planned for him. And so that's what God had to do for me. He stripped me of my family to open my eyes. And so he knew that's what it would take to get me to where I'm at now. And it could, and whatever somebody may be going through, maybe it's your family, maybe a loss of loved ones, whatever it may be, that's because maybe God's allowing you to go through that because he has something bigger planned for you, for and going to use you. And so then Saul, when he was blind, he spent time praying. He understood what he had done. He had persecuted the Lord. He gets baptized, and so after he goes blind now, he can see. What are the three things he do first? He spends time praying. He understood what he has done. Second, he gets baptized. In baptism, his sins have been washed away. He would never be held against. They would never be held against him again. And that's like with us. Once we give our life to God, we turn our life. The devil will try to remind you. You don't deserve his love. You're no good. You're a dope dealer. You're a drug user. You did this. You done that. God already forgiven you. Don't listen to those lies. Those are from the enemy. Okay? And then immediately after he gets saved, he proclaims Jesus in the synagogue, saying he is the Son of God. Now just imagine this. People are seeing him. He came here to kill people, probably. And here he is, he's proclaiming God, proclaiming him. That just shows you the power of what God could do to anybody, any one of us, okay? And so, just like Paul, I know I had to change, that God is the only reason I am here today. I refuse to go back to the old me. Trust me, it has not been easy. The devil has thrown so many things at me in life. Since I said, 2009, I gave my life to God, my dad passes away, 2013, okay? But before my dad had passed away, I gave my life to God in 2009, about 9 months into me being saved, into walking with God. If I could just be real, I was driving down the street and some guys shot at my car. I shouldn't be here. Eric and Erica could tell you, my car, the driver's door, had 5 bullet holes this big. It was like size of 45. They all hit the door, but nothing came through. That was God, okay? So I know God had a plan, okay? And so I was like battling with changing, okay? The old me wanted to go, okay, but I knew that's not what God wants me to do. And I just had to swallow that pride. And for those of us who, whatever it is, you know, especially coming from the streets, pride is something that we have to learn to just push that aside. We have to, because if not, the pride will eat you. Okay? And so I had to change. And just like what did he do? He became one of the biggest Christians out there for God. He won souls for God. He did it, you know, and you know, just imagine that. But when he did that, when he gave life to God, imagine, they wanted to kill him. They were waiting for him at the gates. He had to be over the fence, the wall, and lowered, right? Now look, but that still didn't change his mind. He already had it in his heart, in his mind. He knew what he was going to do. And so I've made it my mind, too. I know I have to go this way. If not, I can't go back. I can't. I'd rather do this. This is such, my life is so much peaceful, more calmer, and I'm able to just live a normal life. And just today, it was funny, as I'm at work, I'm reading my notes, and I'm reading the word. As I'm reading the word, I had a park, and my job site is like a first come, first serve parking. And so then I'm there, and this guy pulls up, and he's like, he's telling me move. And I'm like, who is this guy, right? And so he parks, he goes, blocks me, then he gets out, he goes, you're in my parking spot, move. And I'm like, oh, where's this coming from, right? He's like, I didn't say nothing yesterday, but you need to move. So the flash wants to kick in, right? I'm like, whoa. So then I open my door, I go, hey, I don't mind moving, but look, it's the way how you approach me, brother. Through the way to approach someone. I'm a grown man. I have kids. I don't come out with kids like that, okay? And so I caught myself, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to hop inside my car and move. So then I moved, right? And so then I go back to work. I'm working. And then I'm like, God, like, convict me, like, David, you're about to speak. You're changing. You can't even though he offended you, you still shouldn't get in the flesh. So I was like, you know what? I owe him, that man, an apology. And so then as I'm thinking that, not even 5 minutes later, he walks up to me. He goes, hey, brother, I just want to tell you I'm sorry, right? I go, hey, don't worry about it, okay? I go, It's only a parking. The only thing that got me mad was when you, how you approached me. I go, but hey, it's all good. I go, look, the thing that was a trick was because I told him, I said, look, I was reading my Bible, reading my notes because I'm getting ready to speak at my church. He goes, hey, man. He goes, look, I'm sorry, brother, because, you know, I know better, too. I have a walk with God, too, right? I go, okay. I go, look. He goes, look, I'm having a bad morning. I go, look, brother, I don't know what you're going through, but it's going to be okay, all right? You just got to give it to God. And so I was all just trusting him, okay? I don't know what you're going through. Just give it to God. And he was like, hey, man, thank you, Jesus. And we're inside our construction site, and some guy walked by. He goes, what's going on? He goes, it's a God thing, right? So it was just beautiful. And I would just like to say thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to be here. And for changing my life, and for Pastor Estevan and Sister Chala, just thank you for welcoming me and my wife and my kids into the church. You guys have shown us nothing but love, and we love you guys. Thank you very much.
First, I want to thank my pastor for challenging me, consistently challenged me all the time. Sister Chala, for giving me the opportunity to speak tonight, allowing me to build on this foundation called Victory Outreach, Heart of the Bay. I want to thank Pastor Greg, Sister Debbie for loving me when I didn't love myself, for molding me to a man that I am now. So I thank you. And for the pastors and leadership for always pouring into me, inspiring me to be great, to be more Christ-like. And I just want to speak on Ephesians 3:19, if you could all open. And the word says, and know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Let's pray. Father God, we gather here today, Father God, to praise your name. I ask you, Lord, make my words your words. Setting me aside, Father God, to allow me to speak your word, Father God. Use me as a living vessel today to speak on your love. I honor and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So coming here around 2 years, 2 years ago around my birthday, actually on my birthday, not knowing or recognizing a whole different mindset about making plans on my own egotistical pride and rebellious heart really got me in a lot of bad places. Determined to construct a life without God, still unfamiliar, taking my future into my own hands. Had my own plans, still unfamiliar, not knowing or experienced. I didn't know God. I didn't know the love of that he loved me, that he had a plan for my life. Even in the doubts, he was always there. He was involved. Reflecting on what I thought to be true, because I made those choices based on what I know. My beliefs dictated my actions that led to poor choices. And that's pretty much a lot. I was a gangster, a drug dealer, and a drug addict, thinking I was somebody. Obviously, you know, I wasn't. I have a relationship with God and getting to know him. Things that let control me don't control me anymore. So I thank God for my salvation. No longer do I allow anger to dictate or control my life. Now it's the Holy Spirit, that the very thing that drives me now. I want to gain the wisdom of God so Christ will love and heal me as spiritual ointment to recognize the open wound. Like fear. Fear brings out anger. I have a lot of it. I talked to a pastor a long time ago. He worked with me, kept on working me, putting me in the fire. Asked God, I pray, turn up the heat. I had all these impurities I needed just to get out. And he worked on me. Every day, I'll be quiet, just holding it in. There's times I reflect my kids. You know, I felt, you know, karma, whatever, you know. The devil is trying to get me through my kids, because for me, I don't back down. You know, I'll take it head on. But fear and what I could do, what I'm capable of, I was afraid of that. I'm afraid of myself. And but with God now, it's beautiful. It's like, I mean, I'm still scared now, though. Yeah. It's the fear and trembling in my heart that he instilled in me. I go to work. I'm a tow truck driver, right? You know, I get there thinking, you know, I'm going to help them provide service. But then they're frustrated. They're mad. Of course, I figured that, because, you know, they've been waiting for 5 hours. So, but when I get there, you know, they come at me all crazy. I explain, I just got the call 15 minutes ago. But, you know, they swear. But, you know, having God in my life, I mean, it doesn't stir anything up no more. And I have my worship music on. Hopefully, they catch it, or, you know, we have a conversation. It helps out, because, you know, the conversation we had here, the love that you gave me constantly in the men's home, men need to catch this, because, man, if you knew the person I was, man, it's deep. How I am now, I mean, I wouldn't even recognize myself. I'm like, who is this dude? You know, man, yeah. I would have hated myself, but, you know, I did for a while. But, you know, I love him because he loves me. I mean, to know, be convinced or certain of, to have an understanding, I finally had peace now. I know I have purpose. I'm purpose-driven from the miracles in my life. I restored, man, you know, I hurt my mom a lot, you know, just her seeing me. She tried to raise me the best way can. I had troubles with my family, my brother especially. That's the reason why I found Victory Outreach, getting locked up. I mean, I've been a knucklehead pretty much my whole life. But then God did something. Like, you know how you guys pass those flyers and evangelize and everything? A man, we're in the holding tank, a man gave me, I was looking for a place because I wanted to use the home for my own personal gain. But then a man gave me a pamphlet, like a, you know, a little paper that had a listing. I mean, then I looked at Victory Outreach. I called. I made my way over here. I called first. It was Dewan Brown, right? I mean, he was giving me a little bit of attitude, you know, had that little swagger. So I was like, nah, this is not the place I'm going to be in. Right? But then I called again. It was Sister Debbie. I was like, what is this, co-ed? But then, you know, I was like, no. But, you know, that's what I thought, right? I was like, what's going on here, you know? But, you know, I moved around. I was at BART. I was going to go back to the life. I had to pick one or the other. I was thinking going back, figure that, you know, I could handle things. But something wanted me just to do something in my life. I was just tired. I was sick and tired. Keep on repeating my life over and over. I need something new. You know, I knew God was there. He was always involved. He had a hand on everything. But, you know, I kind of pushed him aside thinking that, you know, it was something else. Because it was something I wasn't familiar with. So I didn't know. The experiences was there. But then coming into the home, I identified it through scripture and just, you know, just hearing the testimonies of my brothers spoke to me because it was me too. I'm receiving because I'm hearing myself tell me. And I'm like, I'm forgiving myself more and more. And I mean, that's God's love, Christ's love. And it helped me heal. It healed a broken heart. I mean, I told my mom, first time she was here, I said, don't worry about me. God has me. I mean, and man, he has me now, even though I'm scared. All right. His love surpasses all my knowledge, beyond human understanding, beyond anything I knew. I always try to, comprehend anything. You know, I'm self-taught. I try to learn. If I don't know, I'll try to find out. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't back down on a lot of things, but then when education kicks in, I'm like, oh, this dude is stupid. Nah, I mean, I tell myself that, but, you know, I have a drive. I have a drive that will impress other people, but the only person that needs to impress is God. That's why he spared me so many times. Like, there was something there that he had for me. I still don't know, but I know I'm in the right place to find out. It's only by his love, Christ, that we can know the love of God. By the fullness of God, we are to understand all the gifts and grace is to have the whole soul filled with gentleness, goodness, love, justice, mercy, and truth. And what God feels, neither sin or Satan can feel. It's not until I got homeschooled, in men's home, of course, where I came to know the love of Christ. It was here where I built a relationship with him and fell in love with him. Loving me for me, my personality, my flaws, my stubbornness, when I don't understand. I realized it was because of his love and grace and mercy that saved me today. His love for me changed my whole perspective of life. It changed how I look at things and even how I look at my hard times. Everything is, I see it as a blessing, a learning curve, or just prepare me for what I need to do. I feel that God tells me my first disciples is with my kids. Everything that I wanted for myself, I gave to them. And they're like my trophies, if I could say that. I mean, they're like my trophies. Everything I seen in me, I see in them. And I'm grateful for that. He spared me. I now pursue him and his presence. He broke strongholds in my life, gave me purpose, re-educated me, showed me a new direction and how to be more like Christ. He fills me with the Holy Spirit, that love that involves knowing the person we love. And yet, even that knowledge is not even of the love towards the blessing upon my life through everything I do. I know how that God wants to love me, so then I love others. I know that God wants to nurture me, so I nurture others. I know that God wants to provide for me, so I provide for others. And I know God wants to teach me, so I teach others. His love that surrounds me is in me that overcomes that threatens me to overwhelm me, to keep me in his love beyond human understanding. And the majority of the time, that's a lot. I see God trying to work with me every time. Even though, I mean, I'm not in the home no more, regardless what it is, it's a blessing. I see. He challenges me. Like, Pastor, I was trying to run from it. But as soon as I got that call, I was like, God's telling me something. There's a message behind the message. He's working with me. Then I was getting hit. I was like, what's going on here? It was God. I know it was. So my third point, last point, filled to the measure of all fullness of God. He is in every way far beyond what our mind can comprehend or our hearts can contain. Powerful and wonderful goals to guide us in our living of our life. What I didn't have or believe I was of worth or value. Through that the living word, I found my value. I have self-worth. I'm just saying that. I mean, I'm trying to build a relationship with everybody here and God where I could open up, like, you know, family. You know, because it was hard for me before, and I didn't feel like I had value enough to tell people what I'm going through so I could hear from others. But God gave me a way through the men's home to speak to me. And those are the values and riches that I obtain, that I collect. And I'll hold strong to it. And what I try to do for God is just be a light in a dark tunnel. You know, to shed some light, especially when people aren't in the dark. And I love all of you. Because of what Christ's love has deposited into me, achieving the lights of discipleship. I just see how everybody just keep on continues trying to work with me. I mean, sometimes you feel like pressure, you know, being in Pastor Gerald's, you know, it's everything that I apply from the men's home. And I mean, I try to share it too by discipling others as well. And I see the love there. I see the love, and I do tug a little bit, but then that's just me. sorry. So, and with this, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Ephesians 3:16-18. So what's ahead of me is always more than what's behind me. So therefore, I mean, in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. I stand here as a new creation. Thank you. I'm still nervous.
Amen. Yeah, Aldrin, you're right. I'm nervous too, brother, but it's all right. Thank you, Pastor Mrs. Chella, for allowing me, giving me the opportunity to come behind this pulpit. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve what God has given to me. But I thank you guys for pointing to me and my wife. Thank you, Pastor Toby, Mr. Bev. And most of all, thank you for the leadership, for believing in somebody that had no purpose at one time. Amen. And I want to thank my wife, who's at home sick, for putting up with a knucklehead who put her through all kinds of pain and heartache. But today I can say that I'm a man of God that loves his family, loves his wife, and definitely loves his church. Amen. So thank you. So tonight I want to speak about inadequacies. Amen. Have you ever thought, if I could change something about myself, then I would be able to do this certain task or this job that I'm about to take? At one point or another, we all feel ill-equipped for life's challenges at times, but the solution is not found in wishing and hoping that we can be different. God doesn't want us to have a sense of inadequacy to be a stumbling block in our walk with him. See, there have been numerous times in my own personal life where I had these feelings of inadequacy, where I begin to question God, are you sure that this is what you want me to do? God, are you sure you didn't pick the wrong person? God, are you sure that this is what you have for me. But because of all these inadequacies and all these different things I've allowed to stop me, amen? If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 4. We're going to read verse 10 to 13. And the Word of God says, Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. But Moses said, Lord, please send someone else to do it. See, Moses gave so many different excuses. He tried to begin to divert what God was trying to do within his life. He began to try to divert it to someone else. Begin to say, you know what, God, I don't know if this is what you actually want me to do. Are you sure you didn't pick the wrong person? See, Moses felt inadequate because of his speech and basically told God, I think you have the wrong person. See, even in Judges chapter 6, verse 12 through 15, we see Gideon. He couldn't even take the task of delivering God's people from the hands of their enemies. He said he felt the least of his family, or like an outcast. Knowing the church that we belong to, many of us were outcasts at one point in time, amen? But not anymore. I want you to know tonight that if you felt the least of your family, if you felt the least, even in this church, God has a purpose and a plan for you. You're not the least. God says in his word that we are not the tail, but we are the head. We're not the last, but we are we're front. We're in the front line. We're the first person. Amen? See, although he felt all these different things, God still said, you know what? I have a purpose for you. I have a plan for you. Even in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 6, the Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Oh, sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. But now jump down to verse 8 and look at what the Lord says to him. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Jeremiah told God, look, God, I can't do this. What you're calling me to do, I can't do because I'm young. It doesn't make a difference how old you are, whether you're 12, 13, or whether you're 99. God can use you. God could use you no matter what age you are to do great things, amen? And if God could use anybody, tonight you may be here. And God has been trying to ask you to do a certain task. God has been even trying to challenge you to step out and do something new. But because of all the inadequacies we deal with, we tend to hold back or shrink back. Hebrews 10:39 says, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. See, there's a few areas when I begin to study, I begin to get in this message, God began to tell me and show me a few areas that as believers or even as people in general, a few areas that we feel inadequate in. One is work. Some people may feel as if they don't have the right skills for the job. But let me tell you something. If God's going to give you that job or God gave you that job, he's going to give you the necessary tools and the skills to make sure that that job gets done. Amen? Number two, parenting. Some may feel uncertain about their ability to raise godly children in a godless society. If God blessed you with them children, he's going to teach you, he's going to take you by the hand and teach you how to be a mom, teach you how to be a dad. I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. And there's times I get on my boys. But I got to remember, wait a second, they're only so young. And I can't put that expectation way up here for them. I can't put that expectation way up here for my daughter that's only 1 year old. But I have to be able to say, you know what? If God is going to teach me, he's going to teach me first through them to be a father. And secondly, in his word, most of all. And if you're struggling on how to be a parent, we got some great teachers in our church. We have great examples. Amen? Don't feel like you can't do it. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. Because when we believe those lies of the enemy, we begin to draw back. Thirdly, financially. Some people may feel unable to provide for their families as they desire. More so when they compare themselves to others. Man, only if I had what they be making. Only if I had the job they have. Man, then I can do all these different things. Wow. There's times that I compare myself. Only if I had this. Only if I'm able to do that. Then I could be able to provide the way I should be providing. If God is there with you, he's going to be with you through everything. Through the good times, through the bad times, through the financial times when we begin to see our finances go up or we begin to see nothing in the bank. Amen? God is going to be with you and I. Can you imagine if Pastor Sonny, Nikki Cruz, David Wilkerson allowed inadequacies to get in the way? Where would we be at as a ministry today? Or even as an individual? Would we be here today? I know I wouldn't. It's only because of God's mercy and because of God's grace and because we've had men within our ministry and trailblazers, amen, that said, you know what? I'm not going to allow these things to hold me back. I'm not going to allow the lies of the enemy to tell me what I can and can't do. And you may be here tonight and the enemy's been probably trying to lie to you, telling you, you can't do that. You can't do what God's trying to tell you to do. I'm here today to let you know you can do it. By the mercy and grace of God, because of his anointing, you can do it, amen? See, people, we got to realize that God is pleased to use inadequate people. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 to 29. I'm going to show you that he likes to use inadequate people. The word of God says in verse 27, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Hello, somebody. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast of him or before him. Amen? Right then and there, if that doesn't tell you God loves to use inadequate people, my God. God chose the foolish things of the world. Amen? You and I, people that were all messed up, and says, you know what? Let me clean you up. Let me put you back together again. You're not perfect right now, but that's okay. You can do it. And he molds us, he shapes us, he cleans us up, pours out his anointing upon us, gives us a calling, and says, okay, now try this. Amen? Although Moses, Gideon, Jeremiah, and many others in the Bible felt inadequate, God knew they were the right people for that task. And tonight, I want to let you know, you're the right individual. We may feel as if, man, my finances aren't all together. Man, my marriage is all messed up. I've blown it way too many times. God can't use me. Well, my friend, you're looking at somebody that's blown it one too many times before. And like I said, I don't deserve to be behind this pulpit. But I thank God because it's not me. Not once have I ever said, Pastor, let me do this. If anything, I probably told Pastor, I don't want to do it. And if I'd never said it, I felt it inside because I didn't deserve it. But God said, it's not what you want, it's what I want for your life. 1 Peter 2:9 through 10 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. See, tonight, you and I, we have to know that God is with us. You have to settle it in your heart that God is with me no matter what. No matter if I go through the mountaintops or go through the valleys. No matter if my marriage is at its best or my marriage is failing. God is with you and I. Tonight, you heard three different messages. And I don't know what God wants to do here tonight, but I know he wants to move. Amen? You may be feeling like the way maybe David felt. At one point, man, struggling, going through it. Do I serve God? Do I not serve God? Or you may even be like the way Aldrin felt at one time. Man, I hate myself. I don't know if God could use me. Well, tonight, God wants to use you. Tonight, no matter if you're 13, no matter if you're 25, no matter if you're 95, God wants to use you here tonight. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. As AJ comes to the keyboard, amen. Tonight, you may be here and not know what God has for you. You may feel as if, man, God, I can't do this. Man, God, my pastor's challenging me to step out. But who am I? God says, you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're his very special people. God even says you're the apple of his eye. You may be struggling in some area of your life. I don't know. But whether it was one of these messages that spoke to you, I want to be able to pray with you. I want to be able to offer you a chance to lay it all here at the altar tonight.